On the line, I've got Lani Puriri. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you this morning?
Oh, we're doing pretty good out here in Raglan, waiting for the sun to come out. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But my first question to you is always, please describe sophrology to us, because some people might not have heard the word. Can you do it in a way that you haven't done before?
In a way that I haven't done before. Well, let's see. Not necessarily, but sophrology basically to rewire the brain.
Yep.
We call it happiness training, actually, because when you can rewire your brain, you actually enable the brain to transmit more serotonin and dopamine, the happy hormones.
Oh, okay.
Which helps you to feel more calm and happy. So basically it's a strategy for training in stress management, burnout prevention. It's an antidote for loneliness. It just helps people have more confidence in themselves and recognize their ability to achieve when they are more aware of themselves and the environment around them.
Okay. And today you've told me you want to talk about self-efficacy, and that's one of those words that I don't really know the meaning of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll do a definition of that as well.
Yeah. So, well, efficacy is actually belief, believing in something. And so self-efficacy is a person's belief in their ability to achieve goals, to complete tasks. They have more confidence in themselves, their ability to control their behavior, to influence the environment around them. They're basically motivated by the pursuit of a goal. So a person with self-efficacy would have higher levels of dopamine and serotonin in their body, the motivating hormones that build us and get us moving and create energy for us to move forward.
Okay, so how do you want to talk about the context that you reason? Yeah, because we just had a conversation off the air, so I know what prompted this, but yeah, I think we should maybe talk about that, put that a little bit into context, or give it something concrete to work from.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's been on my mind recently because I sat in a meeting a couple of weeks ago where a lawyer was, it was an employer, a lawyer that deals with employee rights. And she was doing a presentation to a bunch of employers about what's coming up with the government and what the potential changes will be in regards to, employee and employer relationships. And the main question, I mean, she did her whole presentation, and then at the end of her presentation, they were like, well, we just want to know what our rights are and how we can actually manage our employees without them crying that we've bullied them or pressured them into a corner or that we're not giving them their appropriate respect. And we just want respect in return, which they didn't feel like they were receiving. So I just went away from that meeting thinking, okay, what's the root of the problem? Are we talking about work ethic? Because that was their thing. They were like, none of our employees have work ethic. They show up when they want. They call in for really random reasons, and say we're going to be sick. And they don't even, they give us like 5 minutes notice. And so... was it work ethic or, what exactly was at the foundation of what is going on with the person, the employee, as to why they're not doing their job?
Can I give a bit of a context that I want to put around it, which is, I know because some people will be agreeing with it wholeheartedly that it's hard to get good staff, and there'll be other people out there thinking, well, it's really hard to get good bosses.
It's
a people problem, but
yes.
but certainly there are people who turn up to work who it just never seems to go well, and they are, it's really hard to get them to do work. I've worked with people who would try to spend as much of the day as possible not doing any work, so there certainly are difficult to handle employees out there for sure.
Yeah, definitely, and you're right. It's a people problem. It's about relationships. It's about respecting, our moral virtues, I guess, our moral responsibility to each other. I know last time we talked about our moral responsibility to take care of our health and well-being. And I suppose this is something similar, where we have a moral responsibility to be engaged in our work in a happy and productive way, whether that is in a managing leadership position or as an employee who is just trying to get through the day and earn a buck.
Yeah, yeah, so, for sure.
So I started thinking about it because obviously as a sophrologist and a well-being coach, I want to be at the root of the problem and identify, okay, what can I do in this environment to help employees and employers to build their relationships and have and be more respectful of one another. And so I just kind of identified self-efficacy as a root problem, an issue where that, you know, if a person has high levels of self-efficacy, then they have a deeper interest in the activities that they're participating in. They have a stronger sense of commitment. They can be more interested and active and engaged in what they're doing. If there are setbacks and disappointments, like what you're talking about as far as managers not being respectful,
yeah,
they can recover quickly from the setbacks and disappointments because they have more belief in, okay, well, the belief in their purpose and why they're there. And so because they have that belief, they're able to recover more quickly. And they also view challenging problems as like a challenging problem is actually a motivator for them. It's a task to be mastered. Like, okay, yeah, this is, you know, how can I, what is my ability to solve this problem? And what is the problem and how can I solve it best for my self-interest because I have self-efficacy? So the opposite of that would be people who avoid challenging tasks. They believe that if the task is too difficult, it's just beyond their capabilities and they're not even going to try.
Yeah.
They're more focused on personal failings and negative outcomes. They lose confidence really quickly. And so, you know, because you have low levels of self-efficacy, you're immediately going to say, you're going to look outward and blame other things. It's my employer's problem. It's my, you know, the work hours are too much. I'm too tired. There's going to be other things going on. So you're not going to look at yourself and say, how can I fix this problem? You're going to look at everything else around you and say, they should fix their problem because it's not me, it's them.
Yeah, okay. So to increase the self or deal with the self-efficacy problem, are you looking at it from the perspective of, say, I'm the person, what can I do to increase my self-efficacy? Or is it what can I do to enable my staff to have self-efficacy? How are you approaching this?
Well, it can be both. I mean, when I'm dealing with a work environment, I actually prefer to engage a group of people who are, there's a combination of managers, leaders, and staff or employees all together in the group.
Yeah.
Because it allows for, once the barriers break down and they release and they become comfortable being in the room together and they all see themselves as equals, then they're able to have these conversations and come to a realization of how to respect each other and see where each other is at, whether that is on levels of self-efficacy or the fact that they all have different reasons and values for being there. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, an employer is looking at the situation and saying, this employee I'm losing money because of this employee.
Yeah.
And so when something goes wrong in the work environment, the employer is concerned about the money situation. When something goes wrong in the work environment for the employee is more about, am I going to get fired? What's happening with my family? You know, there might be a little bit of frustration going on, but the frustrations are completely different between the employer and the employee.
Yeah.
So it's nice when you can have everyone together and you can develop self, I mean, everyone has to work on their self-efficacy, because you can actually have self-efficacy can occur in certain, in different domains, work, school, home life, relationships, sporting events. Like you can be really self-motivated on soccer field, for example, since we both have soccer in common.
Yeah.
But have really low levels of self-efficacy at work because you don't enjoy that environment. So it's really just about how to balance that all out in life and become a person who can have belief in themselves and attach that belief to all the domains of life.
Is there a way of getting your head around, like, yeah, I am really good at some stuff and I'm having trouble with this at work, but I must be... In fact, I had this experience once. Someone, I was complaining that I wasn't very good at my job, and someone sat me down and said, you know, like, that's negative self-talk for starters. But then I sort of thought, yeah, like, there's all sorts of stuff I'm actually really good at. I don't know why I'm repeating the impression. I don't think my boss has had that impression of me, so, and I took it on board. But... But once someone pointed it out to me, I was like, yeah, I actually am pretty good at all this stuff. And was, I guess I was able to bring that in into my mindset, back into my work. So have I just answered my own question?
Well, so yes, around building self-efficacy and being able to engage with that, like what you're talking about is like social persuasion.
Yeah.
Where people told you you were good at this, you can do this, and they encouraged you. And so you were able to build self-efficacy around that because someone else believed in you, and then you were able to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
So some people respond to social persuasion really well. Other people, it's more like social modeling, for example. When you see someone similar to yourself doing something, a lot of you know, like young people will look at things that they have an interest in. Since I mentioned soccer, let's just stay in that space.
Yep.
So like when my sons were playing, they had their favorite soccer players, and I can't tell you who they were other than probably Ronaldo.
Yep.
But when they would watch him play or watch his videos or stuff, they were like, yes, I can achieve that. And then they'd go out and practice to be like that. So that's social modeling, where people are in similar, I mean, I guess Ronaldo's not really in a similar situation, but but if you're in a similar environment and you're looking at someone and thinking, yeah, because that person did that, I think I can achieve that also. And so you just have social modeling that can build your self-efficacy. Other things are mastering your experiences. You actually performed a task well. So like when you're a child and you're growing and you're developing self-efficacy, you tie your shoes and then you give yourself, you know, you recognize that I've achieved this thing. And now you start to have self-efficacy because you are achieving things as you go.
It's funny, little kids don't have so much of a problem with this. They're like, because they're doing things to us that are very simple, but they're just delighted that they can do them now.
Yeah, well, definitely, because they've looked at their parents or their caregivers doing these all these things for them. And then when they can actually achieve it for themselves, it just is, you know, it's a huge rush of dopamine for them because they're actually achieving things and doing things that they've been watching adults do for such a long time. And now they feel more grown up and more like their own individual person because they're actually achieving these things that they haven't been able to do for and they've had to have someone else do for them. So so that's really helpful for them. As long as we teach them work ethic along the way, because sometimes we can just get on with our chores and our tasks around the house and not give our children the responsibility to actually do these chores. And that takes away from their ability to achieve a level of work ethic and recognize that tasks are important, staying on a schedule is important, taking care of your responsibilities, like creating, you know, packing up your backpack the night before and making sure you know where your shoes are and
I think the parents' belief in their kids has a lot to do with their sense of self-efficacy, I imagine. We know many instances of people who feel undermined by their parents, and you know the worst cases. But just parents who genuinely believe that their kids are capable and are going to develop, and they don't have to go around saying, "Oh, good boy, you tied your shoelaces," and you know, slightly patronizing things like that. It's just the belief carries through in everything they do.
There's a little bit of a psychological response there that we should have a look at, because our emotional states and our reactions to things can be either helpful or detrimental. And so we want to take a look at the intensity of our emotional and physical reactions on certain situations, and realize that we need to have some level of emotional resilience and emotional control, because it's actually our bodies that are creating the emotion, not ourselves personally. Our responsibility in emotional situations is to identify the emotion and then determine if our response in the moment is the best response.
So what was the context for that?
Because that's a psychological response for self-efficacy. In order to improve self-efficacy, it's important for people to have emotional resilience, because, like, for example, feeling defeated because you weren't able to accomplish something, you can go into a deep state of depression or have stress and anxiety. And so it's really being aware of emotions and the psychological responses that take place, and being able to monitor those and manage those. And so people with high levels of self-efficacy are able to do that. Whereas people with low levels of self-efficacy will blame it on the emotion. Well, that made me feel sad, and so I just couldn't work the rest of the day, so I had to go home.
That sense of being defeated, like I had that at with a couple of bosses, and when I used to work in architects' offices years and years ago, when I was in my 20s, three different firms, and one firm I felt capable, and two other firms I didn't, and that was the bullying or controlling nature of the bosses did make me feel defeated and just want to give up. And that's when I was very down on myself about not being very good at my job. So I guess that is a message for employers, if you've got staff who's suffering from that, and some staff are more sensitive than others, I guess. It's a bit of a trick. But what can someone do if there's someone out there who's feeling that, slightly defeated at work or feeling like they're not good enough at their job, what can they do about that?
Well, it depends on what they're looking at. So as far as, again, talking about the, how to develop self-efficacy, we're talking about celebrating your successes. So when someone, not approving and being really depleting of your energy, I guess you could say, you're really responsible for yourself, right? You have to go inward. You have to recognize, it doesn't matter what the words that just came at me from my employer, I feel like I did my best. And it's also just identifying, where is the truth in what's being said right now? Am I being blamed for something I didn't actually do? Or do I need to take responsibility and up my game a little bit? Seeking some positive affirmation. Okay, so I wasn't so great in that moment, but I did these other things that I was really great at. So I just need to rise to a better level next time, And so it's really just about monitoring the situation, having the confidence to be able to do that. And so these are the things that, that I would be working with people in sophrology, is to help them develop their confidence, to help them develop emotional resilience, have the ability to control their thoughts and be able to switch into a no more helpful thought process rather than a defeating thought process. learning to believe in yourself, all of these things, because we've gone a lifetime and we've gotten to the place where we're at now, where we're feeling somewhat defeated and limited in certain domains of life, we do have to rewire the brain and have that ability to build our confidence in the places where we don't have the level of confidence that would be helpful, whether it's in the work environment, dealing with our employers, or doing public presentations, or even customer service. If we're, if we have roles as a barista, or serving tables, or retail and working with the public regularly, like, we're dealing with people we might never see again, right? But and you never know what's going to come at you and how these people are going to respond to you. And so being able to have that self-efficacy where you have a belief in yourself that you know how to handle conversations, relationships, you have this level of control over your emotions, so that if the person you're serving in the moment is irate and angry, you can stay calm instead of reacting to their behavior. You can actually be calm in the moment. And so these are the things that sophrology helps with. And it's through meditation, balanced breathing, movement of the body, coming into understanding the physical sensation of the body and what's going on with your body in the moment, visualizing yourself responding in an appropriate way for the environment, and just doing these things. And in order for you to respond appropriately in the moment, you have to prepare yourself ahead of time. It's like, if you're going to go and play the piano in public, you have to practice, right? You can't just get up there and play the piano or soccer, whatever thing you want to choose.
Yeah.
You've got to practice it. And these are the things that we have to do with our bodies, with our physical, mental, emotional, spiritual well-being. We have to pay attention to these things, and we have to manage ourselves. And the way to develop the ability to do that is through focused meditation and wiring or rewiring the brain to be able to establish the habits that are necessary to respond in the moment appropriately.
Sounds like a lot of things when I was in my 20s, that would have been a struggle. I was unaware of all of that stuff. I was just kind of on the run, I think.
Well, yeah. And that's really what the case is. We're usually on the run. we're always on the run, dealing with the thing in the moment, even though we don't have the tools to deal with it, because we haven't actually stopped for a minute to create that. We're so busy pushing ourselves forward and dealing with all of the things externally, we're not paying attention to what's going on internally. And that's when we end up with the burnouts and all of the illnesses that take place: high blood pressure, heart rate, elevated heart rate, diabetes. All of these illnesses in the body are usually because we're not paying attention to ourselves and what our needs are.
Yeah. That last sentence kind of summarizes a lot of what you talk about. Folks, we've been talking to Lani Puriri. Sophrology is the topic, the general topic that we talked to Lani about, and today is self-efficacy. Lani, thank you for your time. Is there anything else you want to add to that, or you feel like you wrapped it up nicely?
Just if you want to be able to, build your self-efficacy and manage yourself and relationships in an appropriate way, just definitely get in touch with me through my website, sophrosolus.com. It's spelled S-O-P-H-R-O, sophrosolus.com. You can also find me on social media and email me. It's all the same, sophrosolus@gmail.com.
Okay, cool.
So,
and do you have, I can't remember if you have articles or anything like that on your website around these topics. Do you write a blog or anything like that?
I do. Do I have a blog? I have been writing blog articles. My son actually is in charge of my website, and I don't know if he's hidden my blog.
So there might be some articles on there.
There might be some articles there. There's not currently one about self-efficacy, because I've just started thinking about it now, and I have to sit back and philosophize on these things for a little while before I actually go forward with it.
Okay, but maybe sometime soon.
Yeah, sometime soon. Keep a watch out on the social media or the website, and hopefully I'll have a blog up soon.
Okay, awesome. Well, look, thanks for talking to us this morning, Lani.